Our reading today is Psalm 122. When they said, "Let's go to the house of God," my heart leaped for joy. And now we're here, O Jerusalem, inside Jerusalem's walls. Jerusalem, well-built city, built as a place for worship, the city to which the tribes ascend. All God's tribes go up to worship, to give thanks to the name of God. This is what it meant to be Israel. Thrones for righteous judgment are set there, famous David thrones. Pray for Jerusalem's peace, prosperity to all you Jerusalem lovers. Friendly insiders, get along. Hostile outsiders, keep your distance. For the sake of my family and friends, I say it again, live in peace. For the sake of the house of our God, God, I'll do my very best for you. This ends today's reading.
We indeed have wonderful Christians, people with very special talents in our midst. So this year I truly trusted them and I said, you take care of our first Advent celebration. You did very well. Thank you each and everyone who participated this morning to bring us into the spirit of Christmas. Our scripture reading in the New Testament is short. It comes from Luke 2 verses 41 through 47. Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up as they always did for the feast. And when it was over and they left for home, the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents didn't know it. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for him among relatives and neighbors. And when they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. And the next day, they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And the teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. Here ends our reading. God is still speaking through Scripture. Let us listen today. Brothers, sisters, friends, the Christmas story tells of the arrival of three wise men at the crib of Jesus, bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So someone asked, "Do you know what would have happened if it had been three wise women instead of three wise men?" Well, they would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought more practical gifts. At the 250th anniversary of the founding of Harvard University, all the students marched in a torchlight procession. So the freshman class, 1 month old at that time, emerged with a gigantic banner reading, "Harvard University has been waiting 250 years just for us." Now the New Testament presents Jesus Christ and exclaims that all the ages have been waiting for his arrival, and that all history has been preparing for his coming. So we can say that the birth of Jesus is the sunrise of the Bible. That moment in history fulfilled the aspirations of the prophets of old, and the entire Hebrew Testament is directed towards this point in human history. And from that day forward, a new day began to flow silently over the world. A day of faith and freedom. A day of hope and love. Jesus Christ brought new meaning and new hope into our world. So the biblical story that we read this morning tells how Jesus as a child was found in the temple, seated among the religious teachers. Obviously, he was listening and he was asking pointed questions. Now, that's a sort of an example for all of us, what his parents did afterwards and what happened when they finally found it. They searched for Jesus. They simply had to find him, and they didn't rest before they actually saw him again. We know the story. They had been at Passover celebration in Jerusalem. The 12-year-old Jesus was with them. They were part of a large company of pilgrims and even neighbors and friends. They all traveled together. Those were dangerous days. So they were already a full day's journey away from Jerusalem before they realized that Jesus was indeed not with them. Can you imagine? It's a dangerous time. It's a dangerous place. So what could they do? Finally, they turned back to find their son, and they went searching for Jesus. And eventually, they did find him. They found him in the temple, already in intense discussion with the religious leaders of his time. And that made me think, searching for Jesus, I can really say that is very much part of my personal ministry during the past many years. Meeting with people here and across the globe, searching for a Savior. Searching for someone that could get them out of darkness and lift them up and put their feet on firm ground again. The Christmas story tells that wise men came searching for Jesus. Well, in time, our time, there is a bumper sticker reading, "Wise men still seek Jesus." Indeed, they do. Seeking Jesus is certainly close to the heart of our Christian faith. Because we believe that in and through Jesus Christ, countless millions of people have found their way right to the heart of God. Many of us here present today will not hesitate to say that our own personal lives have changed dramatically, positively, since the day when we first found Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, as Guardian, as Light of all our lives. And I know that most of us have similar experiences. If I would ask this morning, would each one of you stand up and tell us of the day when you first met Jesus, consciously became aware that Jesus wasn't just a story, but that Jesus is indeed real. I think we'll be here till long after lunch, just hearing what everybody has to tell. Their story of their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then at the same time, we have to admit that many lives, many people around us across the world is still searching for a Savior. The search is still on. It never ceased. People all over the world are searching for meaning, for something special in their lives. So many people carry around within them a God-shaped emptiness. They carry within them the longing to find rest for their restless souls. As many of us discovered that without faith anchored in God, there is only emptiness where there should be meaning and purpose. And I thought Shirley's reading was very appropriate this morning. Thank you, Shirley. It reminded us, it brought the message that while the cash registers are clinging, while people spend billions and billions on Christmas gifts and feasts, the actual reason for Christmas, the peace of Christ on earth, is still eluding many, if not most, of those shoppers. And the message is clear that no credit card can fix the emptiness of a life without faith. So it bears the question, challenges me to ask, to what extent is Christ present in your life and in mine? What does Christmas say to us? How do we tone our celebration to point straight to the reason for the season? Now you would ask, where shall I find him? How should I find him? And I promise you there would be many different answers if you ask people everywhere. And most of them will point you to their expectation, their realization, to their story, to what happened in their lives that put them in a direct relationship with Jesus Christ. They may all be true, but I just want to tell you the answer is much, much wider than just that. The answer is Jesus can be found everywhere, in a million places. Some people that I've known and deeply respect found him in the beauty of nature. And they would tell you how they wandered in the woods or sat on a beach or at a quiet time looked across the ocean, and deep inside suddenly they sensed, but I'm not alone. I'm not deserted. I shouldn't fear. Some people indeed find Jesus in the beauty, the serenity of nature. And may I say that we thank God that some people indeed found Jesus in Cocoa Beach Community Church. Since the beginning, this church has a history of an extravagant welcome, of an openness, of tolerance, of caring for people no matter who they are or where they are on life's journey. And in the process, many, many that felt unwelcome elsewhere found their way into our beloved church. And many of you can tell of years gone by, in a wonderful way, this place, the place that we love and work hard to keep up and to provide a future for it, this place has also become an oasis for people who could come here on the quiet of a Sunday morning and place their answers before God, seeking. I've seen many a tear in the past decade of people who actually said, I found God right beside me, right deep inside me, with me this very hour. Let me tell you one thing. If this would continue to happen, if you and I as followers of Jesus Christ would have that earnest desire, yes, to do many things, to reach many goals, but make them all second to inviting lonesome, lost, forlorn people into our midst, and through our love we shall be known. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. And then we would feel free to say, is he also yours? Don't be alone any longer. God, through Jesus Christ, can fill that emptiness in your life. Goes a bit deeper even than that. Recently, our colleague from the Lutheran Church came back from a stint overseas where he was serving as a chaplain in a war overseas. And he spoke to us as clergy and he shared some of his experiences. And it's amazing, his witness and his story. And then he reminded us and he said, you know what? Let me tell you, I was there. I just came back from Iraq. There are no atheists in foxholes. Not one. He returned from the battlefield overseas to tell us how many of those soldiers in the darkest times of their life are seeking spiritual guidance, are getting serious in life before they're even fully grown, and how they long and how they care to learn more about Jesus. Many are reading the Bible. Some of them told him that they've never opened the Bible before and they are reading it as if for the first time. And more soldiers, he tells us, are turning to people who they suspect possibly know Jesus, sharing their innermost concerns about life, death, and their families behind. Sir, they say, we would see Jesus. Well, search and you will find, young friends, those of you who are serving our country across the world, may your search continue and come to fruition, even when you are in foxholes no more and back with us. Truth is that many people find God, their way to God, during times of uncertainty, during times of great stress, great heartache, and great concern. And many of us have discovered how our personal faith connects us to the one who can indeed meet our deepest needs. Faith in God is not just a fable of churchgoers. Faith in God bears fruit, changes life for the better. And you know what? I've seen many people in crisis and then they would tell me, this is the first time that I ever think about God, really think about God, really need some information. Pastor, can you help me? Oh, many like me do our very best to reach out, to extend the hand, and often we turn away back to our car or wherever thinking, my God, if this person only knew God before the crisis came, before it came, not that waited for the crisis to come first, before seeking God, it would be so different. It would be so wonderful to enter a dark night with the light of God shining in your heart, in you and through you. So young people, turn to God before life gets dark, before crisis comes, while you still have health and your future ahead of you, all your talent, your ability, and your free will to make meaningful changes in your personal life, turning your personal darkness into light. You know, this is a true story. An amazing discovery was made in a nursery for infants. The caregivers there often felt so helpless when most of the babies all seemed to cry at the same time. And they just didn't know what to do about it. And they tried their best to serve and to help the infants through that difficult time. And they made some experiments. And finally they found something that seemed to work. They recorded, made a recording of the sound of a mother's heartbeat. And then they would play that over the loudspeakers, softly over the loudspeakers of the infant room. And they discovered that it had a soothing effect of the infants. And when playing that recording, before long, most of them stopped crying. Now we can talk about that, think about that, but apparently the infant, the smallest infant, has some memory of life before birth, and the calming, reassuring effect of that heartbeat brings peace into those young lives. What am I trying to say with this story? Are you still close enough to God to hear God's heartbeat? Are you still aware of God's presence? Are you searching for a Savior? Deciding to bring Christ back into your life, or for the first time, will still make a difference right here at Ventime 2010. God has promised that if we truly seek Him with all our hearts, we shall surely find Him. So if you are searching for a Savior, hear for the first time or for the so manyth time, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and decide to invite or to again invite Christ into your life, into your being, into your thinking, into your doing. And I promise you, it will make all the difference. And that's why we are once again entering into another period of Advent, that is waiting and preparing to celebrate Christ's coming into this world. He has promised that if with all our hearts we truly seek Him, we shall surely find Him. And that's why I can declare in Jesus' name, He is here now. He is in this worship service. He's waiting. He's available. The only question is, are you hearing your name? Remember the old song? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Our God, the Advent season is a time when Your light radiates into our darkness. Help us to realize that in your light we are all connected to one another. Help us to use that light to guide others and keep them from danger. And keep us from growing weary of waiting for your love and light, lest we miss your coming into our lives and into our world this time. Oh, we long for and seek the hope and good news waiting to be born in our hearts this very day. So we pray with thanksgiving. In the name of the one who came to us, so that we will never ever be alone again. Amen.